Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is my favorite day of the week. It is Friday, and I'm so excited to be here. It's amazing. I get another 3 hours to tell you guys what's on my mind. And there's a lot to discuss today, more vaccine mandate craziness, specifically here in Massachusetts, dealing with our governor, Charlie Baker. We will get to that. We're also going to talk about illegal immigration. I've kind of taken a few days off of that topic just because inflation and the supply chain crisis have been in the news a lot. But it's very important that we keep people informed about what's happening on our southern border. And of course, you know who we're going to bring on to talk about that. Jessica Vaughn, the one and only Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies, will join us at 105. We've got a crazy Karen segment today, and I think we might even work in a Dear Grace. I know it's been falling on Fridays, Jared, but I got to fit it in somewhere. But before we get to any of that, the story that moved me the most today, that made me really scratch my head, was the Pete Buttigieg of it all. And I should be fair, I have been writing about Pete Buttigieg over the last couple of days for Spectator. You can expect to see that piece probably either at the end of today or early tomorrow. So he's been at the top of my mind. And how could he not be? I mean, you look at both coasts and the supply chain crisis is visually, it's just stunning to see all of these massive cargo ships just waiting with all of these goods. And there's a few different elements to the story. And I always tell you guys this, there's plenty of topics where I have to do my own research. I'm not a supply chain expert. Then again, neither is Pete Buttigieg, so I don't feel that bad about it. But there's a really good piece that kind of breaks down why this is happening, and it was in American Thinker by Andrea Widberg, and I will get to that in a little bit. It kind of explains how there's the immediate problems, whether it's with the unions or the green police that are holding up some of this supply chain and causing a bit of a bottleneck in California specifically. But then there's larger problems. There's problems that we all need to kind of look inward and say, why are we getting so much stuff from China? You know, why does this even need to be happening? Didn't we used to manufacture stuff here? And so you can't really have a full discussion about it. I think that's what we'll do for the first hour. But the story, the palace intrigue of the day, is by far the story about Pete Buttigieg. And everyone had kind of been wondering, where is this guy? Where's Pete? Mayor Pete, some people call him. But he's the Secretary of Transportation, and he's supposed to be handling this. And I just want to remind everyone, before we even get into the fact that he's been on paternity leave since mid-August, that just came out today, I just want to remind everybody that no one is forced to take these jobs. You know, it's a fine thing. It's actually a very honorable thing to say, hey, Joe, I appreciate the offer. I'm honored. But I don't know anything about that. I have no idea what being the Secretary of Transportation requires. And then maybe you add on, and I'm about to, I don't know if he adopted. I think he adopted two children. I'm about to adopt two children. Maybe you should put somebody else in charge of this for today. I don't see a problem with that. But he took the job. So with that comes the slings and arrows of critics like yours truly. And I want to remind everyone also, because the election feels like it was 1,000 years ago, because Joe Biden's administration is like dog years. We all feel as if he's been in there for 500 years and not around 9 months. I want to remind everybody that Pete Buttigieg wanted to be president. Okay. He cannot handle being the Secretary of Transportation. And I'm not understating what this job requires. I'm sure it's very difficult. I'm sure you need to have a lot of experience. But if this is what happens when P. Pete is in charge of transportation. Can you imagine if he was in charge of the entire country? And David Marcus, one of my favorite writers from Fox and from the New York Post, found a silver lining in all of this. He said, imagine how bad the supply chain crisis might be had Pete not taken these months off for paternity leave. Imagine the situation we might be in. We should be grateful. It's like when Joe Biden goes to his summer home or goes into the basement for the weekend. Don't criticize, or you can criticize, but you know, be careful what you wish for, because when he's out of sight and out of mind, he's probably doing a little bit less damage than when he's in the driver's seat. Now, before we get into how Pete has been MIA, and this is thanks to a Politico report that it was revealed that he's been on paternity leave since mid-August. Kind of explains why when he went on Morning Joe, the only answer he could really give was like, well, it's complicated. It's a complicated situation. My writing for Spectator is all about this concept that these same people, the Marty Walshes, the Pete Buttigiegs, the Kamala Harrises, the Charlie Bakers, all of these people had all the answers when Trump was president. And they would tweet about it. Their Twitter fingers wrote a check they can't cash because they had the answers. They had a condemnation for Trump when he would do anything that they didn't like. Any decision he made was the wrong one. And yet, correct me if I am wrong, I don't remember empty shelves under Donald Trump. I don't remember a supply chain crisis. I don't remember gas prices this high. I don't remember inflation like this, anywhere near this. I don't remember 13 dead U.S. Marines. I don't remember over 150 dead civilians in Afghanistan. I don't remember a drone strike that killed 10 innocent children. But again, it's complicated, I know. But none of this was complicated when Orange Man was in the White House. All of this was very clear to these people. All these geniuses, these arrogant people who have been feeding from the public trough for decades. They knew everything. They're know-it-alls. They're condescending. They laughed at Trump. He speaks at a fourth grade level. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's an embarrassment. He's a buffoon. It's weird, though, because he has seemed to have a handle on the basics more than these people. And now we find out that Pete Buttigieg has been on paternity leave. And I want to make something very clear. I sound like a politician when I say that. Let me be clear. You know what else I notice politicians say, Jared? Look. Look. Here's the thing. Look. I'm going to start saying it. I'm going to start saying it all the time now. But I do want to say this before we even dive into this conversation. Because I've been seeing this brewing now on Twitter. My problem with Pete Buttigieg going on paternity leave has exactly zero to do with him being a gay man. I have no problem with him being a gay man. I have no problem with him even going on paternity leave. It's 2021. A lot of guys do go on paternity leave. That's something that happens. My issue is that when there's a crisis at hand and you have a spouse or a partner who is able to watch your child, most people would go tend to that crisis. If they took the job and they took the responsibilities, they would say, I'm going to fix this. And then maybe take my paternity leave in a little bit. I don't think that's a crazy thing. I don't think that's bigoted of me to say. I don't think that's homophobic of me to say. I don't even think that's unfair of me to say. Because it has nothing to do with him being a gay man. All I'm talking about is if you take a job and a crisis unfolds. Now, they always say they're serving the public. Like this is their duty. This would be a time where you would either bow out and say, I can't handle this. Or you would say to your partner, I have to go handle this now. It's getting to a point where this is becoming a crisis. And that's exactly what it is. Even if you turn on CNN, supply chain crisis. It's not a supply chain blip. It's not a supply chain issue. It's a big, big problem. And you cannot do it from your living room on a Zoom call. You just can't. And I don't think that's unreasonable. I don't think my expectations are too high. Because I know people with jobs that are a lot less, have a lot less impact on the country that would be able to make it in if there was a problem. And I'd be curious if people agree with me. Maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm being too harsh. But that's how I feel. And as far as the it's complicated excuse, none of this was that complicated 9 months ago. In fact, you guys made it out like everything was easy. Everything Trump did. Oh, you don't have to give him credit for that. Yeah, the economy's good. Obama did that. Obama ushered in that period for Trump. Oh, yeah, peace in the Middle East. Oh, yeah, sure thing. Yeah, Jared Kushner, give me a break. Everything was poo-pooed and easy. Not that easy, is it? Doesn't seem like it's that easy for you guys now that you're in charge. 844-500-4242. We're going to have some fun with this. We have some clips of Pete this week because he must have known that this report was going to come out, so he's been trying to get ahead of it. So he did like a media blitz, and it was as bad as you could imagine. We played some of them earlier in the week, but that was before I knew he had been on paternity leave this whole time. And he's joking around, oh, Christmas, you're either someone who shops before or you're a last-minute shopper. And I'm surprised that answer didn't just solve the problem right there. What else do we need to know? But we'll get into that, and we just have a ton to get to today. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier is one of Eden Pure's best-selling products, and now Eden Pure is offering my listeners a special Thunderstorm 3-pack. One user writes, I'm surprised at how well the small unit works. I noticed a difference almost immediately. I purchased the 3-pack, and I'm happy I did. You really can't beat this deal because you'll save $200 on the 3-pack, which means you'll get three units for under $200, and you'll save $200. Jared, I know you love the Thunderstorm for your basement, for your kitchen, but tell people about when you use it in your car.
Yes, I keep one in my car because that's the really nice thing about the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is you can keep one in your car. You can have a couple in your house, which again is why the 3-pack is awesome. But in my car, it comes with a little USB cable. I plug it into the unit. I just plug it into the USB port in my car and I turn it on, and same thing it does in the house. That ionized air creates a super oxygen, which gets rid of any car odors, fast food bag odors. Even if there's pollen in the car from having your windows open, it can get rid of that. It can get rid of allergens. It sounds complicated, but it is not complicated.
It's not complicated. He's not going to give you the Marty Walsh or the Pete Buttigieg excuse. It's a very easy product to use. You just plug it into the wall and you'll be very happy. And the best part is you don't have to replace any air filters. It's not a big product. It's not an expensive product. It's just perfect all the way around. So go to EdenPureDeals.com, click on my name and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. EdenPureDeals.com, click my name and use code word GRACE3. I think Mayor Pete should call up Trump. I know that Trump isn't sophisticated. I know he speaks at a fourth grade level, but he seemed to have a grasp on how to do these things. So maybe they could all use a little bit of that fourth grade advice from Donald J. Trump when we get back. And let's not even forget. I'm sorry. First of all, let me apologize. I just had a bunch of coffee, so I'm jacked up right now. And it's Friday. It's a double whammy for me. But let's also not forget the fact that it took the media how many weeks to figure out this guy wasn't there? Our mainstream media that had a tracker going for Melania Trump when she was out of sight for 6 days. Just something to think about. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Well, I think there's always been two kinds of Christmas shoppers. There's the ones who have all their list completed by Halloween, and then there's people like me who show up at the mall on Christmas Eve. If you're in that latter bucket, obviously there's going to be more challenges.
That's code for you're on your own, kids. Christmas is for cops and kids and people who do their Christmas shopping before it's too late. Sorry, that's how it works.
Yeah, the backup at the ports is not the mall on Christmas Eve, Pete. You need to get there a little earlier, bud.
Yeah, it's really insane what is happening. And it's the laissez-faireness of it all. The, you know, oop, shoulder shrug. I don't know. It's tough, you know, it's complicated. Oh, I've had guys call up this show before who say, I know exactly what's happening. It's not that complicated. And this is really part of why this administration is such a farce. Because when you think about it, the day that Trump picked these idiots to run his administration, to be in his cabinet, I'm sorry, Biden. The day that Biden shows all these people.
A beautiful dog. A talented dog.
Pardon me, Mr. Trump. That was a mistake.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
Yeah, I know I am. I'm sorry. These are all Biden's people. The mainstream media went crazy. They were like drooling. Yeah, Michelle Cinder said, oh, it's like the Avengers. You know, Vogue magazine had the adults are back in charge. Chris Saliza was just fawning over all of these people. The best and the brightest, as David Ignatius describes them. You know, and it was all this juxtaposition between, see, Biden's picking experienced, you know, really sophisticated, college-educated geniuses to run his administration. Look how far that got us. This might be more of a testament to college education in America than anything else, because these are supposedly the best and the brightest, and this is what we have now. And I had a caller weigh in once and said, you know, all these people, they're Harvard people and they're Yale people, and you'd think that, you know, they're not blue collar people. You think they would know. And I said, you know, we would be so much better off if he had picked a dozen blue collar workers. People who understand, especially in the job like this, someone who understands how the trucking system works and how, you know, the cargo system works and could actually figure it out. And not somebody, Mayor Pete, who does interviews for magazines about how wonderful he is and thought he could be president after being the mayor of a small town in Indiana. Do I have that right? I don't even remember at this point. It was so long ago. But wouldn't we be better off with someone who, I don't know, has actually worked before? And I don't mean politicking. I mean actual work. I think that would be kind of cool. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsby Inn, located on beautiful Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. That's Follinsby Inn, spelled Follansbee. Go to follinsbyinn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which almost president turned out to be a bigger flop, Pete Buttigieg or Kamala Harris?
It's hard to beat Kamala.
I'm sorry, Kamala Harris.
I know you got me into that, but yeah. It's easier to say it, Kamala. I'll say our vice president.
She is running away with this like it's the border. 85% say Kamala, 15% for Pete, for Mayor Pete.
Now, this was the tweet from Politico, and Matthew Krasinski, I'm not sure who he is, he's a blue check mark. He said they didn't previously announce it, but Buttigieg's office told West Wing Playbook that the secretary has actually been on paid leave since mid-August to spend time with his husband, Chasten. Is it Chasten? Chasten. Spend time with his husband, Chasten, and their two newborn babies. And I really like this response, because every once in a while there's a response on Twitter that is just so much better than the actual tweet. And this person wrote that no reporter noticed his absence during a supply chain crisis is not a good look for either reporters or for the secretary. Boom. Right there.
And another component to this, he's been on paid paternity leave, which means I am paying for Mayor Pete's paternity leave, which, fine, whatever, taxes, whatever. I don't want to pay higher prices because of inflation, because of a supply chain crisis. I've already paid it forward for his paternity leave.
Dude, calm down. What are you, just getting your Christmas presents now?
Yes.
You should have had that done at least by July. This is on you, Jared.
I'm one of those late shoppers. What can I tell you?
Christmas
Eve Jared, they used to call me in the hood.
844-500-4242. I see everybody on the lines, and we will get to all of your problems before all your questions and comments after. But these are all high class problems. Ron Klain retweeted something that said, you know, all of this, the supply chain, let me get you the exact tweet here. White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain, he's the real tweeter in chief these days, recently endorsed the idea that inflation and supply chain struggles Americans are struggling with are high class problems. Well, I'm speechless at this point. And they have no answers for us, but we're going to break down why this is happening. Forget the paternity leave. I mean, I didn't think that Mayor Pete was going to do much to help this to begin with. So I say to Mayor Pete at this point, too many cooks in the kitchen. Enjoy your time off. We're all set here. Yeah, it's going bad, but it could be going even worse. We'll take your calls when we get back. It's Friday, and it's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Obviously, it's an incredibly complicated situation. We're talking about global supply chains, and it's mostly private sector systems, but we have a big role to play.
How did I not think about this before? We need to get Avril Lavigne up in here. Why'd you have to go and make things so complicated? Nothing was this complicated when Trump was president. I mean, he still got a lot of criticism for when things didn't go wrong. It was, you know, always the hypothetical. He's saying this to North Korea. This is what could happen. None of it actually ended up coming to fruition. But imagine if it had. And then he would get criticism for that. But if something on this level had occurred, I can only imagine the amount of deliciously evil think pieces Jennifer Rubin would have pushed out. If only. All right, let's go to Dave. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm good. What's going on?
So I just want to say last night I was watching the nightly news, and every single nightly news report said it was aging infrastructure is why the containers aren't coming off.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, well, you know what, Dave? It's funny you say that because I guess technically, you could make that argument because based off a piece I read today in American Thinker, a lot of these trucks, I wouldn't say they're old or they're decrepit, but they don't pass California federal law. Federal law in California. So they're technically aged out, but not for any good reason besides the fact that the Climate Corps doesn't like them. I'll read this piece in one sec, but let's go to David, another Dave. Go ahead, David.
Grace, I just wanted to say that this is a government-funded, deliberate effort to back things up. If you go on to a Thanksgiving dinner with your family and you had a 5 o'clock reservation or 7 o'clock reservation, they're on a tight schedule. So you show up at the door and you see 1,000 people at the door, you know that they deliberately did that or is a man-made screw-up. So now we get all these container ships that are on a very tight schedule, a very tight load because it's costing millions of dollars. And we're... the truckers. Pete Buttigieg has a very cavalier attitude because the truckers and the dock workers were making money moving that material. Well, where are they getting the money to survive today? It's government funded. They're getting either unemployment somehow, and this is a deliberate effort to back those things up. There is no excuse for this. Just think of a restaurant. You show up at the restaurant, 5 o'clock reservation, and 5,000 people there. Classic example of incompetence. In deliberate effort. This is not just a storm blown off the ocean. This is deliberate.
Right. No, it's a great point, David. And in most businesses, and actually, I was going back and forth with an editor today, and I said, I basically want to write about how they keep trying to tell us all of this is so difficult, you know, and we can't comprehend it. And, you know, there's all these insider reasons why things aren't working. And my editor said, yeah, do you get to make that excuse at work if you mess up? Do nurses get to make that excuse if they mess up? Oh, it's really complicated what we're doing here. Well, yeah, but you still made a mistake. Something went wrong. Someone has to be held accountable. Unfortunately, the person who should be held accountable is out on paid leave. So there goes that. I want to read this, though, because it kind of breaks it down for me. Empty Christmas stockings, don't blame COVID, blame California. The conventional wisdom from the left is that COVID is the reason that shipping containers are in the waters off California. With no truckers available to take care of them. Now, COVID is the reason for everything, according to Joe Biden. It's the reason why the jobs report is so bad. It's the reason any sort of issue Joe Biden has, low polling numbers. It's because of the unvaccinated. Delta, 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 unvaccinated, unvaccinated. And if you're really desperate, Ron DeSantis or Donald Trump. But that's, you know, worst case scenario. The implication, by the way, this is by Andrea Widberg, because I have a feeling people are going to want to read this on their own. The implication, of course, is that if people would stop being selfish and take the vaccines, the whole problem would magically vanish. There is this new narrative by the left to vilify the unvaccinated. And so when the vaccinated get upset and they don't have their Christmas presents, they want you to think, well, it's because of your selfish Trump-supporting neighbor. It's because of your gun-toting, credulous, boomer rube neighbor who won't get vaccinated. Otherwise, everything would be okay. That's who you should really be mad at. Don't be mad at the old man in the White House who claimed he had all the answers and was going to shut down the virus. Be mad at your neighbor who voted for Donald Trump. It's their fault. That's nonsense. As a couple of astute articles explain, the problem is that California has passed two laws. All right, so it was California that passed these laws. One for climate change and the other as a sop to the unions. That destroyed much of California's trucking industry. Add in woes unique to the industry and COVID payments that discourage people from working, and voila, empty Christmas stockings. Now, because federal law requires that truckers be at least 21, kids who leave school at 17 or 18 get involved in other careers, leaving trucker shortfalls. So the reason I really like this article is it breaks down all the different elements that kind of got together and led to this massive crisis. One of them is we don't have a lot of truckers. And that's because a lot of times when you look into these, you're like, wow, we have so many laws on the books that make everything complicated. And Will and I, my fiance, were, and I'm only going to say that for a couple more weeks because I know there's a huge contingency of people out there who hate when I use that word. Luckily, fingers crossed, that's coming to an end soon. He will be my husband. But we were watching a documentary on Disney World. And it was on ABC, and it was talking about how Walt Disney, you know, had all these ideas and how it came together. And we were watching the construction take place, and there was like a guy who was just on a crane or something, just getting lifted up onto a building. And Will's an electrician, and he said, wow, it's wild. They could just do anything back then. Like, there wasn't all these rules. And I said, yeah, but all the buildings seem to be fine. And Will said, oh, yeah, they still made solid stuff. They just didn't have all these, you know, laws and legalities about, you know, oh, we you know, and some things that are really good. I'm not saying that people should be hanging off cranes, but you start to see as you read this that a lot of the stuff we put on the books, common sense wise, it doesn't help the situation. It actually makes things really hard for companies. Now, Stephen Green at PJ Media explains some of what's going on. As a preliminary matter, truckers are aging out of the job and new ones aren't coming along. Federal law requires that truckers be at least 21, and so kids who leave school at 17 or 18 get involved in other careers, leaving trucker shortfalls. Women don't offset this problem here. This is going to upset the feminists out there. So hold on now. Don't get upset with me. This is not my words. This is Andrea Widberg. Women don't offset this problem because, as is typical for most physically difficult jobs, it's not their thing. We got to use one of Howie's sound cuts here. Greta, how
dare you?
What are you?
How dare you?
Are you trying to say there's less women truckers out there? That feels like a microaggression, but we will move on. Those are long-term problems. The short-term problem is that California has passed laws taking trucks off the road. Now, this is from a Twitter user, Jerry Oakley, who says carriers domiciled in California with trucks older than 2011 model or using engines manufactured before 2010 will need to meet the board's new truck and bus regulation beginning in 2020. Otherwise, their vehicles will be blocked from registration with the state's DMV. So that, to me, kind of plays into what that caller Dave was saying, that it's old infrastructure. Because when you think about it, you could say, well, that car is old infrastructure. It doesn't pass the new insane requirements that were pushed through by the Green Police. So technically, it's not a lie. The requirement is to purchase electric trucks, which do not exist. Now, the EPA reached an agreement with the California Air Resource Board to shut down semi-tractor rigs that were non-compliant with new California emission standards. Virtually all private owner-operator trucks and half of the fleet trucks that are used for moving containers across the country were shut out. In an effort to offset the problem, now listen to this, Jared. This is what I think is just typical boneheadedness from our government. Like, this is the problems they create. It's absolutely asinine. Transportation companies started using compliant trucks, low emission trucks, the ones that like AOC would approve of, to take the products to the California state line where they could be transferred to non-compliant trucks who cannot enter California. Jared is cracking up. Yeah, I know. I didn't know this.
That's great.
I am fully honest with you guys. There's a lot of stuff I'm learning as I do this show. And so when I see an article like this, which, by the way, is included in Howie's homework, he's going to be mad I stole this from. Sorry, Howie. But it's very interesting because you're like, wait a second, this is so dumb. Oh, yeah, but that's, hey, welcome to California, baby. So they take the products in compliant vehicles, low emission vehicles that Obama would say look very good. And then they bring them to the state line and they move them into non-compliant vehicles. Okay. However, the scale of the problem creates an immediate bottleneck that builds over time. It doesn't matter if the ports start working 24/7, as Joe Biden has bragged that they will do. We'll play that cut after the break. They are only going to end up with even more containers waiting on a limited amount of available trucks. That's problem number one. And we will get to the other problems, but I see here that I have a trucker on the line, so I would love him to weigh in on this. Jeff, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Grace. One thing that's not really being brought up is these blue state ports, they're requiring truck drivers and everyone else to be vaccinated in order to go in there and grab these loads. So there's one of your problems when they say there's a trucker shortage. It's not a trucker shortage. It's a shortage of truck drivers that don't want to take the jab, the Fauci-ouchie.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And on the plus side, though, I'm sure that the amount of truckers that are vaccinated, the percentage has gone up once they fired or didn't let anyone else join. That's what Joe Biden keeps touting. He's like, Jeff, don't worry about when you read these headlines about truckers quitting because they don't want to get the jab. Look at the percent of truckers that are vaccinated. That's the silver lining here.
I'm unvaccinated, and I'm still out here doing it every day.
God bless you, Jeff. Seriously, you guys make the world go round. And it usually takes something like this for people to realize it. But I think during this entire pandemic, people have realized how incredibly valuable truckers are. I mean, the backbone of America. Thank you very much, Jeff, for the call. Problem number two, according to Andrea Widberg, is California's infamous AB5, the law that... as a, you know, nice little, I don't know if people know this, but the unions are a big fan of AB5, killed the gig economy. Now, this first came up with like Ubers and stuff. I've heard, and Jennifer Oliver O'Connell, she would have actually been a good idea for today. She writes a lot about AB5, and some people in California really hate this, and now I'm starting to understand why. Traditionally, the ports have been served by owner-operators, Oakley says, who are non-union. But under AB5, California has now banned owner-operators. Just like the union longshoremen, union truckers work under a whole host of work rules that simply can't accommodate crisis conditions like the ones in LA. Now, keep in mind, Green says that AB5's language is included in the Build Back Better, Bagel, Backstreet, Back, All Right bill. All of this means that Biden's grandstanding about having the ports operate 24/7 won't make a difference. Don't tell that to Joe, because he really liked that line. It was like a whisper line about the 24/7. Don't tell him that. The greenies and the unions killed the infrastructure to unload those ships, with COVID restrictions, trucking restrictions, and free money landing the coup de grace that led to this situation. Biden does have the emergency power to order those California laws, but you know he's not going to do so. But of course, the more serious underlying problem is that in a distant, wonderful past, America didn't need to rely on containers from Asia to fill her store shelves and Christmas stockings. We're going to save that last problem for the next segment because it's a big one. 844-500-4242. We have more people on the lines. I'm glad people want to talk about this. We also have a lot to discuss as far as inflation goes, because Joe Biden at one point told us that no serious economists were worried about inflation. That has changed a bit. We'll be right back with more. It's The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I have to give a huge shout out right now to Perfect Smiles. I went to Perfect Smiles this morning, bright and early, to get my teeth cleaned. And I kid you not, it's the best teeth cleaning ever. And it's actually very fun because the dental hygienist, Lori, who works there is a riot. She is the sweetest woman in the world. Dr. Houghton, Stephanie, the whole staff there is incredible. So I wanted to thank them all so much because I just had a great experience and my teeth are squeaky clean. Literally, she was rubbing her finger and you could hear the squeak from my teeth. Need I say more? Let's go to the calls here and then I'll finish up this article. Lou, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, how you doing, Grace? Before I get to my point, I remember, I think it was around Christmas time or something, Howie wrote this article about everything that Trump did for this country in the 4 years that he was in. Somebody needs to take that article and then compare it to all the damage that's been done by this woke administration, the Biden administration. Because this is exactly the thing that when you do woke, you go broke. All of their woke and Green New Deals are destroying the United States of America. The gas prices, I heard a trucker call another show yesterday talking about the diesel prices and how expensive it is to move things. When you look at things like housing, look at all the regulations that block housing. I mean, and then the worst part of this is they want another $3.5 trillion for this totally incompetent administration that wrecked Afghanistan, is wrecking the border, drugs are flowing in, and they're destroying the country. And can you imagine what they're going to do with that $3 trillion and put more woke stuff in there, more union stuff in there, and more stuff like Newsom is putting in California for the whole country? We're going to go broke. We're going to turn into Venezuela. I'm telling you, this is exactly what they wanted to do.
Yeah, and Lou, Pat Buchanan had a really good piece today in Town Hall about that, and he brought up that same point that as all of this unfolds, they also are turning around and saying, we need more money. We need more money. And you think to yourself, what? You guys can't even handle what you have right now, let alone $3.5 trillion more dollars to waste. And the article that he's referring to was one that Howie wrote after, I think it was either right before Trump left office, and it was picked up really everywhere because people loved it so much. And actually, it was one of the last times Rush Limbaugh mentioned Howie on the air before his unfortunate passing. And I remember how he was so excited that Trump gave him a shout out. And I don't blame him. I mean, the legend giving you a shout out is pretty cool. But I think that's a good idea because I have to say, as much as Trump did a lot of great things, but Biden's list of bad things is really adding up quick. I mean, Trump used to say, you're going to get tired of winning. I don't think any of us did. But damn, I'm getting tired of losing. I'm exhausted. Waking up every day, going on Twitter, seeing hashtag empty shelves Biden is trending. Now, let me finish this before I wrap up this hour. Now, this is a piece by Andrea Widberg, Empty Christmas Stoppings, Don't Blame COVID, Blame California. But of course, the more serious underlying problem is that in a distant, wonderful past, America didn't need to rely on containers from Asia to fill her store shelves and Christmas stockings. America was a manufacturing dynamo that fulfilled American needs and still had enough left over for the rest of the world. Those things were well made, too. It's a depressing scenario, but the rosy side is that China's got a problem if America can't open the door to her products. Add to this the disastrous collapse in China's real property sector, and China may be hurting as badly as we are. Well, thank goodness Andrea threw in a little silver lining at the end there, because this piece is, it's bleak. And that last caller was dead on. You know, everything woke. They say woke goes broke. I like Trump's other expression. Everything woke goes to bleep. Just read this article. Or better yet, look at both the coasts and you can see it for yourself and those cargo ships sitting there. We'll be right back with more. We got Jessica Vaughn coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's Friday. This is The Grace Curley Show.